Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, this Friday night, the place to be is Metro. Why? Because New Order's Peter Hook is back in town.
Every time I think of you, I feel a shot right through the ball off the hook. It's no problem of mine, but it's a problem I find. Living a life that I can't leave behind. There's no sense in telling me the wisdom of the fool won't set you free. But that's the way that it goes, and it's what nobody knows.
Peter Hook and The Light will take stage on Friday. The man behind bands like New Order and Joy Division is one of the most iconic musicians on the planet. He's touring to celebrate an anniversary of sorts. The New Order album Substance is 30 years old. The album was put out back in 1987 and featured a compilation of New Order singles up to that point, including Temptation, True Faith, and Bizarre Love Triangle. It's considered one of the best albums of all time. It's up there with the albums by Madonna and Prince for the best of the 80s, for sure. On Friday, Peter Hook is playing songs from Substance, both Substance albums, actually. Joy Division also put out a famed record by the same name, and Hook will play both albums live. He's a musician, a producer, and an author. In 2016, he wrote the book Substance Inside New Order, and it's my pleasure to welcome Peter Hook to The Download tonight. Peter, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hello there. What a build-up.
Well, hey, it's deserved.
Like a great guy.
Well, I ask this of a lot of musicians when they come on to talk about, hey, what's it like to play Chicago, but it's a historical record when you've played Chicago. Talk about an anniversary of sorts. 35 years ago, New Order came to Metro in 1983.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first time we met the wonderful man that is Joe Shanahan. And we had one of our most memorable gigs simply for the reason that it was something like 125 degrees on stage. And it actually prompted Joe to install air conditioning, which I'm sure a lot of Chicago over the years has been very grateful for.
That's right.
I know we were very grateful when we came back. But yeah, I mean, Chicago has always been a fantastic market for New Order. We were playing to, God, three times as many people in Chicago as we were anywhere in America very early on in our career. So I can only say that obviously Chicago has great taste.
It's great that you're coming back to Chicago, and town goes nuts when New Order and you particularly come to town. Talk about what it means to be on stage and to be able to perform both Substances, the both the New Order and the Joy Division album to Chicago.
Well, at my age, I'm wonderfully proud of being able to perform in any way, shape, or form. I'm a musician. I've been a musician for 40-odd years. What I'm doing is that I'm taking a journey through all of Joy Division and New Order's LPs. I play the records in their entirety. There's no way that I can pretend to be the group. I wouldn't do that. So the thing is that I needed some way of being able to play the music and present it to the fans to say I'm not pretending to be something I'm not. I'm just playing the music that I love more than anything else in the world. And it's great to play the LPs in their entirety, actually, because it was quite shocking when I realized how many tracks of New Order's that we had actually ignored as New Order. So the thing is that I don't get the opportunity to ignore them anymore. I have to play them regardless of how difficult they are to play, which is usually the yardstick for any group. If you've got a track on an LP that's difficult to play, just leave it and go on to the easy ones that take the roof off. You know? So I don't have that luxury, but it's nice because I think it's a little more artistic, and I must admit that at this point in my career, it actually fulfills my, keeps my concentration going. It makes it more difficult for the band. And also, in many ways, it's actually more difficult for the audience. You don't get that sort of normal easy run, shall we say, that a group gives you when you play. They're a very thoughtful moment, shall we say. They're a very slow moment. And it's nice because people seem to relish the difference in tempos, you know, and the fact that it requires more thought, more concentration, but is ultimately much more rewarding.
1978 would be the 40th anniversary of Joy Division. Joy Division, and both New Order and Joy Division share similar things in the sense that you were involved in both those bands and you both created new genres. The Joy Division, you know, is punk music with a little goth thrown in, and then that turned into pop music with a little dance thrown in, and all of those things seem to be a start of genres that we know well today but didn't at the time. Do you see it that way? Do you see you being a pioneer in the way that Joy Division and New Order kind of took to the scene?
I don't see myself as a pioneer. I think I fought very bravely with music just to make sure that I didn't have to go back to work. So, luckily, I had a talent for it, talent that I only discovered at the ripe old age of 20. So, you know, there's hope for everybody out there. The thing is that you don't think about it in that respect. You know, you just do, and you use the chemistry of the individuals to write the music that you're all interested in at that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, over the years, tastes change, and our tastes had changed by the time we got to New Order. You know, we were sort of a man down by the time we got to New Order, so there was a different feel to what we were doing. Also, the 80s were a much different decade to the 70s. You know, that punk anger, all that aggression had seemed to have been tempered by a little bit of realism that age brings. So you were different people, you know. I mean, you're very lucky in a group to change the world culturally and musically once. We were very, very lucky to manage to do it twice. It also helped that our record label was independent and had a very unusual way of working. It also helped that Chicago, of all places, inspired us to bring dance music to Manchester via our club, the Hacienda. You know, so there's a lot of history between the two cities, Chicago and Manchester.
Yeah, and
I'm very happy to, you know, say that chemistry is still there. I do think I've been lucky.
No, but I do. I know, being a teenager and going down to Wax Trax on Lincoln Avenue, and it was almost considered a Joy Division record store. it was a go-to. They had the sign behind the wall. But talk about Factory Records, of course, a huge player when it comes to independent punk music and I guess dance music of the 80s and 70s. But to think about how much there were at the time before the internet and before all that there were different places that were taking up the music that you were creating to almost be part of a culture. Did you know that was happening in places like Chicago or other cities you hadn't been before?
Well, I mean, we knew that Manchester at that time had a wonderfully rich musical heritage. You know, the thing is that every band that seemed to be coming along was adding to that huge history that Manchester had. Manchester really had a stranglehold over the world musically for a long, long time. It's sort of diminished now. I suppose in a way we're giving other people a chance, is the way I like to put it. But many of us are still very active, so you still get to take Manchester, Stone Roses, bands like that, you know, are still very influential today. But I mean, I don't know what it is about Manchester, if you're going to ask that, in the same way that Chicago was fantastic at house music, way ahead of its time, you know. There's no reason why, is there? It just happens at that particular point. But, yeah, I mean, Manchester has been very lucky. It's enabled me to go right round the world time and time again, playing the music that we wrote in the 80s and 90s, you know. And I'm certainly not complaining.
The tragedy of Ian's suicide in 1980, that album that came out right when that happened, and all of that happened after his death. What was it like as a musician to have your music become world famous after the band was over?
Well, oddly enough, we completely divorced ourselves from Joy Division because of Ian's very sad demise, and literally paid it no heed. We were very busy. We dropped every song. We started New Order from nothing, with no songs apart from two that we borrowed off Joy Division, that Joy Division hadn't finished, which was Ceremony in a Lonely Place. So we really did start at the bottom and earned our place, really, despite Joy Division. It was very odd. It was a bit of an out-of-body experience, actually, because our manager, God rest his soul, was always saying to us, you know, Joy Division are going to be as big as the Doors in 10, 15 years. It's just going to be like the Doors and all this lot. And really, it was of no interest to us. We really didn't look back. And I think that that was a sort of selfish way, as a youngster, of dealing with the grief. You know, as you get older, you realise that grief is a very, very important emotion, and you need to show respect, and you need to show empathy, and you need to, you know, do your bit at occasions like that. We were very lucky. We were musicians. Everybody says yes to musicians, to whatever they want to do for some unknown reason, which sometimes I'm happy about. But the thing is that we were allowed to ignore it and not grieve, if you like, throw ourselves headlong into New Order, and it worked. It made New Order far more successful than Joy Division ever were. Yeah. But Joy Division crept up and kept pace, and now are just as important, sell just as many records, if not more, than New Order. You know, and it's the most surprising thing in the world.
Yeah.
So the thing is that you just ignored it and got on with it. And then, you know, looking back now, I think that was a mistake we made at the time, but it was just the folly of youth.
I think of all the pop music that I listen to. I got a 10-year-old son, and he listened to the music stations and all of the dance music, almost EDM-inspired dance music that's being produced for Top 40 right now. I make the argument that that all comes from New Order, like that you can follow that to
well,
the 80s.
I'm very flattered, but I would have to give Chicago and Detroit a definite slice of that little pie from my point of view. If anything, I suppose you'd say that we brought a European feel to it, to that kind of music. But don't forget that we were taking influences ourselves from Kraftwerk, Giorgio Moroder, you know, Donna Summer, people like that were influencing us. It also coincided with a wonderful technological revolution. So we were all in the right place at the right time. A lot of that revolution was led by American companies. You know, Oberheim, Moog, they were the ones that pioneered electronic music, if you're going to be honest. You know, the Japanese sort of came afterwards, if anything, on that. So there was a lot of people involved in doing that. You know, the interesting thing is now is that the most commercial music is done the way that New Order decided to do their music in 1980, which is a combination of rock, normal acoustic instruments, and electronic instruments.
Right.
So I suppose that we were one of the first pioneers. Interestingly enough, if you read my book, Substance, Inside New Order, the interesting thing was how expensive, and you know, it was very much a middle-class game, electronic dance music in the early 80s, because the instruments were so expensive.
Right.
It wasn't until the Acid House Revolution when technology, courtesy of the Japanese, became so cheap that everybody could do it. You know, now with a computer, anybody can do it.
That's amazing.
So I suppose you've watched a very different revolution.
That's right.
Those 3 points.
Well, if you want to see how it's done, New Order's Peter Hook will be on stage with Peter Hook and the Light this Friday night at Metro. He's going to be doing both substances, Substance from New Order and Substance from Joy Division, live on stage. Peter Hook, I can't thank you enough for taking some time out to talk
to us
tonight.
It was a pleasure to talk to you, and quite interesting history to go over, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.